We're out there in here again, this time on Culture File, as we continue our walk through the trees with writer and curator Ralph Rogoff. Rogoff is the curator behind Among the Trees, a huge survey show of modern and contemporary art responding to trees, which was at the Haywood Gallery in London briefly in March before getting locked down. In this second leg of our journey through the show, Rogoff explains how what he calls tree culture intertwines with human culture.
Artists don't think in straight lines. They allow their thoughts to wander, to go in different directions at the same time, to come back, to branch off here, bifurcate there. And even the act of seeing, I think, creatively has this kind of speculative probing. You're going out in different directions. Well, then the next section of the show is really looking at how tree culture and human culture intersect. And there are artists who are making images of trees in cities, trees in the suburbs where, you know, where there's a parking lot and one little tree left and it used to be the edge of a forest. There's an amazing work by a photographer named Zoe Leonard, which shows trees in New York City that have been fenced in and the bark has grown around the fencing. Trees will adapt wherever you put them. There's also works in that section that present trees as witnesses to history because trees live so long. There's a photograph of titled The Lynching Tree by the artist and filmmaker Steve McQueen, which is a tree he discovered while he was scouting locations for his film 12 Years a Slave. And he was told that this tree had been used as a gallows for lynchings of African Americans for many years. But when you first see the image, it's just another innocent-looking tree in the forest. So there's a sense that trees witness things. Now, here's the oldest work in the exhibition from 1969 by American sculptor Robert Smithson, who in art is probably best known for a giant sculpture he made called Spiral Jetty in the salt flats in Utah. But here, in three different locations, he planted a tree upside down and photographed it. And what you get is this strange image of the roots, which, of course, look a bit like branches. And you get a strange sense of, yeah, it's an inversion, but it's somehow strangely, possibly like a tree, an upright tree. We've all seen trees all of our lives. And you have all kinds of associations that you bring to it, whether it's seeing a forest in winter, or here, another work by the same artist. Just a kind of random section of branches and vines and a tree, but so beautifully rendered that you start looking at the structure of each leaf and twig, and it's almost endlessly complex. You kind of never run out of something to look at. I love trees. I love their structure, texture, their size, because they really set the scale for us in the world when we're walking around. I'm not very good at identifying trees. You know, I can probably identify about 20 trees or something, but I stop and look at them all the time. And so I'm lucky that London is a city with 8.5 million people and 8.5 million trees. And there is a lot of different kinds of trees. Someone's written a book called London is a Forest. And I think that's a really interesting idea, that cities can also be forests.
They tend to be more in Scandinavian cities. They have much higher proportion of trees.
Trees, yeah. I think we need to get London up to three or four trees per person before it could become much more interesting. But, you know, a lot of our architecture is based, in a way, against this kind of crazy, intricate, interconnecting growth patterns that we're looking at in this section. Now, here's an artist, Peter Doig, who grew up in Scotland, actually, for a while when he was young. And it's called The Architect's House Seen Through the Ravine. And we're looking down from up on a hill through a thick wood with these strange white lines crossed in between the trees, which could be suggesting snowfall or icy branches. It's hard to know what. But we're looking at a kind of modernist house. It's interesting that a lot of this architecture that we associate with modern architecture, very rectilinear, block-like forms, lots of steel and glass. The architects all plan these things to be right next to woods. So they knew that it almost like this would be too sterile if it was on its own. And it needed this other, more chaotic type of form nearby it to set it off. But unfortunately, we've often lost that, and we've just ended up with a very reductive shaped buildings, which in the end, I don't think satisfy our desires for looking. One of the things a lot of the art in this show looks at is how tree culture, as I will call it, and human culture have been intertwined since prehistory. You know, obviously, human civilization wouldn't have developed if we didn't have wood to burn and to cook with and to smelt with and to make tools with, to make houses and boats with. And we've constantly lived with trees, used trees, cultivated them, grown them in specific ways. And then they've affected the way we imagine the world, right? We talk about having roots and activity bearing fruit. We have family trees, branches of government. We're really very, very close as these two cultures, human culture and tree culture. And I think one of the key things I take away myself in the art of the show is really that there isn't some natural world that's separate from us. That we really share this world, but we also share our culture comes out of that interaction. So to see ourselves as somehow separate doesn't make a lot of sense.
Ralph Rugoff there, taking us for a walk in the woods at his Among the Trees exhibition, now shuttered at London's Hayward Gallery. And you can hear an extended version of that walk through the show in this week's Culture File Weekly on Friday at 7 p.m. IST on RTE Lyric FM.